This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
All right, my final segment here on the Alex Jones Show. By the way, Alex Jones will return this weekend. Be on the lookout for that at band.video. I am going to be hosting the War Room coming up in an hour. It's Veterans Call-In Day. We got a couple great veteran guests. I've got some other news I'll cover, but we'll be taking a lot of calls on the War Room coming up in an hour. Ollie Alexander with me, another segment before Jay Dyer takes over here. Ollie, here's where I'm at. Now, the Vegas odds, the odds makers in Vegas now have Republicans at the highest odds so far this year to win the House and Senate. I think it's in the 60th percentile now. That's a huge margin when it comes to Vegas odds for Republicans to win the House and the Senate. And, of course, all the anecdotal evidence shows us that that will be the case, too, just like in 2020 it did with Trump. But ultimately, we saw the results. Now, here's my fear. I look at this as a Democrat's knowing that they're never going to have more power than they have right now. And all of their wet dreams of adding two more states to control the Electoral College, ending the filibuster to stop anybody from disrupting their legislative agenda, and just all the other stuff that their involvement, amnesty, open borders, I mean, you name it. They know this is all within arm's reach right now. All they need is to secure the midterms, two more years under Biden. They can do it all, blame it on Biden, and then they have total control. They'll probably even cancel elections if they can. I'm not even kidding you, folks. They will. And so, yeah, I see all the polls. Yeah, I see the Vegas odds. Yeah, I see the anecdotal evidence when I go out in the InfoWars truck and 9 out of 10 interactions are positive now, where it used to be maybe 5 or 6. It's 9 out of 10. But I also realize they've got it all on the table. Democrats are all in right now. Of course they're going to try to pull off another massive theft like they did in 2020 and then label you a terrorist if you say that. What do you think? What do you expect here in 11 days at the midterms, Ollie Alexander?
You know, it's really tough. I'm certain that the Republicans are going to win the House. I think that this has been energized by the voters and not leadership. And so if you asked me 3 weeks ago, I would say that we're going to have a narrow, narrow majority. The voters kicked into high gear. I think the high gas prices and the prospect of World War III, I think the energy here at Infowars.com has energized people to say, okay, I'm going to give you one last chance. Republicans. The Senate races are very interesting because you essentially have 4 seats in play, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, where they try to do these isolated psyops. And what we're seeing with the Pelosi break-in, they first tried to implode the Ohio race and get us to dump another $50 million into that race and tell us it was closer than it was. We didn't fall for it as a party. Then they went to Georgia, and they pulled this hoax against Herschel Walker, which every Georgian needs to vote for, especially Christians and those who are pro-life. They need to vote for him and stand with him. It's really tough to see what's going to happen in the Senate, because the Senate could break one way. Those 4 seats could go Republican. Those 4 seats could go Democrat. I think that we'll have a narrow Senate majority. Here's what I want everyone to kind of strap in for. The Republican majorities are going to disappoint us. They are going to betray Trump. As he runs for president of the United States and his announcement is imminent, he's going to be pinned against his own party. Our party is going to be pinned against us. And so we'll take a lot of the blame, actually, for threats of government shutdown and the economic meltdown that is coming here in the winter. It's a crap show. So I think that we'll win, but I think that they're winning so that they can compromise and cuck McCarthy's speakership. McConnell is going to do all kinds of dirty things to make sure that we lose. In a lot of ways, winning the majority is our biggest problem. And so what we got to do is be prepared to hold these people accountable, get a J6 Select Committee to investigate the previous Select Committee. We need to dissolve the U.S. Capitol Police units in California and Florida. We need to release the 14,000 hours of footage. We need to have financial settlements with those whose due process rights have been violated. We need to impeach Merrick Garland. We need to have a short impeachment for Joe Biden, but a long impeachment for Merrick Garland. We've got a lot worked out for us in these midterms, but let there be no doubt, Owen Schroyer is right. The Democrats are going to try to false flag us here in these final weeks. Yeah, with
just 11 days left, folks. You think it's a coincidence what happened at the Pelosi household? Somehow, I doubt it. Ollie Alexander, great stuff. Thank you for joining us today. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Jay Dyer hosts the rest of the show, and then I'll be back hosting the War Room. It's Veterans Call-In Special, so we're going to be hearing from a lot of great veterans, and I've got a couple other stacks of news I'll cover. But Jay Dyer on the other side of this break.
I don't promote things unless they really work. When it comes to politics or culture, economics, we are always the cutting edge tip of the spear. And when we talk about the products at InfoWarsStore.com, they all blow you away. If you'll just take them, if you'll just try them, I know you'll be repeat customers. And finally, one of our best-selling products, sold out for months, is back in stock. It's X3. It's all three types of the very best atomic iodine out there that supercharges your energy, your stamina, your libido, and number one, your immune system. So X3, despite the fact we run on iodine, is still on sale at 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds the InfoWar, which is a 360 win. If you've not experienced the power of iodine, it takes 2 weeks to kick in on average, you've got to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get X3 50% off. X3 50% off, InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and today, because it's the spooky season, it's getting closer to Halloween, I wanted to talk about the pop culture industry's occult and esoteric and satanic roots. Now, I've talked about this in the past, but this talk's going to be a little bit different because I want to start with the way that this has affected culture, right? We all have heard the term culture war. We know about the idea of battling our conservative or liberal or whatever perspectives in the social sphere and the culture sphere, and this has been termed the culture war. But I want to stress and emphasize that you can't really understand this unless you understand that the principles of the state or the corporate state or the elite controlling culture is ancient. It goes back to the ancient world, and I've been teaching a course in philosophy, the history of philosophy, which that'll be available to the public in a couple months, but over at Richard Grove of Tragedy and Hope's excellent site, Autonomy, and as an autonomy course, we're talking about the history of the Republic, we're talking about Plato, we're talking about, we did a three or four hour in-depth analysis of this, so we go really deep. And I was reminded that in the Republic of Plato, we have the idea that society has to be run in a proto version of technocracy by a secret society. Now, in the Republic, it's a philosopher king that pretty much rules everything from on high. So it's very autocratic. It's very dictatorial. But in one of Plato's later works, The Laws, he invents this kind of secret council called the Nocturnal Council. And hearkening back to the Republic, his earlier work, he mentioned that they would have to rule by the noble lie. The noble lie is this concept that the state has to erect big-scale lies to control the masses. So it's a sort of a justification for why the state, right, by any means necessary, has to maintain control and order, even if that control and order is propped up by intentional, created, big-scale lies. So we might think that fake news is something modern, but it's actually not. It's something that is part of the very apparatus of the mega-state itself to concoct big-scale deceptions, to hold everybody under one idea or one line or one piece of propaganda. For example, the British Empire under the Victorian period wholesale adopted Darwinism as its mythos, because if you look at Darwin's own writings, his idea is that the British Empire is the apex of human evolution. So if you believe the evolutionary narrative at that time, you believed it because, well, of course, we're the greatest empire, the most evolved empire on the planet. It's our duty to bring civilization to everyone, right? That was the mythos of the empire. And so likewise, this idea of a concocted, contrived, and controlled mythos has been the purview of the state throughout all of its history. Now, I think that Christianity comes along. I do think Christianity is true, so it doesn't rely on a wholesale lies and deception. Then if you know the history of the Christian church, for example, there were a lot of kings, a lot of rulers, a lot of members of the state that tried to alter and change Christianity to fit their own status narrative. Many emperors persecuted the church and tried to have the theology of the doctrine changed and were never successful. So I think that there is a unique case here where Christianity does present an authentic religious tradition. But in so many cases, you know, pagan empires or even today's modern Western imperial approach to trying to govern the world involves constructing and concocting new myths. And some of the new myths revolve around things like, you know, saving the planet and pollution and the green agenda and austerity and Extinction Rebellion and perhaps even something more ridiculous like the alien narrative. They might use an alien mythology to try to unify everyone. This external threat narrative of some kind. So the global government, right, is in the process of trying to concoct its own mythos, its own narrative to explain and give everybody some unifying principle. Aldous Huxley wrote a book called The Perennial Philosophy, where he talked about that a kind of generic, one-size-fits-all global New Age religion could perhaps be the vehicle which unifies the entire world. So the New Age movement, the idea of a one world religion that's a blending of all the religions, there's nothing new to that either. That's an old imperial approach. In the Roman Empire, you had the attempt to get everybody to believe one or believe any religion they wanted as long as they accepted Caesar as divine. So the final authority is Caesar, but then you can believe whatever you want. Look at that dude's rebel eye. That eye's going wild. I didn't realize he had such a... So yeah, the Brits are known for rebellious anarchy in their mouth in terms of their teeth, but I guess they have, in some cases, a rebellious all-seeing eye as well. Well, let's get back into this notion then of the secret society element to this, because everybody finds this fascinating and they always want to know about secret societies. And the reason I bring that up is because in the case of Plato's Republic, he says that there will be kind of be this secret society, this inner core group that knows the noble lie isn't the case and knows that it's for the good of the society. And there's so many great parallels between one of the other prominent images in the Republic, which is the allegory of the cave, this idea that the average Athenian is sort of held entranced by these images, shadows projected on a cave wall. And the philosopher, or the guy who's appointed to be the truth teller, who goes and tells them the truth, that you guys were just really entranced by these deceptive shadow images on a cave wall. He's actually seen the real sun, the real light, and not this manufactured light in the cave. He tries to tell them, and they get mad, and they've lost their reasoning faculty, and they want to kill him. And this is the allegory of the cave, which is intended to elucidate this principle behind Platonic theology and Platonic metaphysics. But it's applicable perfectly to today's Hollywood, Matrix, Netflix society, right? It's the exact same kind of illusory reality, and it's just as dominated by inner secret society cults as the ancient world was, or as the empires were, or even as Plato himself says, which is a kind of an ironic contradiction, that Plato has this idea that the philosopher comes to the cave to try to awaken people, to try to wake them up, enlighten them. And yet at the same time, Plato believes that most people aren't going to wake up. And so the Republic of Plato requires this big lie, this inner core elite group that's going to run it together with the philosopher king. So what about Hollywood, though? Well, Hollywood is very similar to this kind of a mechanism, and this would be all of pop culture, really, the cathedral that is pop culture, because it's really borrowing from a lot of the ancient occult and esoteric mystery school ideas. So, for example, most Hollywood films that are in some way dealing with God or the divine or something like this, they're very Gnostic in their theology. And what I mean by that is that they present the idea of an evil creator God who's imprisoned us, and that through the right amount of gnosis or knowledge, we can escape this world. You know, something like simulation theory or the Matrix. Everybody thinks of the Matrix as the classic example of this. And it's fine to see an analogy in some of these movies, like the Matrix, you know, telling us about waking up out of a deceptive system. But if we think that the world really is a prison, then we have some problems in a lot of our approaches to ethics and morals. And the left, and that's what I want to get to today, and how modern leftism really comes out of this counterculture Hollywood scene and Hollywood ideology in the music industry as well. It's all part of the same superstructure. is itself a kind of an initiation process into an inversion of everything that is good, everything that is truth, everything that is beautiful, everything that is justice, etc. This is an initiation process, a counter-initiation into something very deceptive, destructive, and only serves the ends of the oligarchical elite and perhaps even something beyond a satanic being or entity who is the source of evil in the world, who is the source of the deception and the darkness and the delusion and the desire to destroy, to kill. What does Jesus say, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's talking there about the devil. Now, I'm not being a prudish sort of a Puritan here. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch movies. I'm not saying it's wrong to, be into the arts. I mean, the history of Western civilization, the history of Byzantine civilization was very much into the arts. There's a lot of beautiful art. It doesn't have to be religious art. It can be all kinds of different things. But there has to be some strictures and some ideas as to what constitutes beauty in an objective sense. It can't be totally relativized, because when it's totally relativized, that only suggests or conveys the idea that there is no truth, there is no beauty, there is no goodness, there is no justice. It's all relative to the individual. So we're going to talk about the philosophy of leftism first and how its modern versions come out of this matrix of Hollywood and secret societies.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you have brain fog or loss of short-term memory? Do you suffer from symptoms of hypothyroidism or adrenal fatigue? Do you have deformative joint disease or candida overgrowth? All of these symptoms are associated with mercury toxicity. Most of the mercury toxicity comes from having had gray or silver-looking dental fillings. It does not matter how old the mercury filling is, it still off-gases 1,000 times more mercury than the EPA considers safe for human exposure. Just replacing your mercury fillings with non-toxic material is only the first step. Unless you apply an effective detoxification protocol, then your body is still poisoned with mercury for the rest of your life. Green Metal Wave supplies the precursor to making glutathione. Glutathione is the number one mechanism for removing mercury and other toxins from the body. Order Green Metal Wave and get my free report, Mercury Detoxification That Works. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets. and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I wanted to give a brief, this is Jay Dyer of Jason. I also want to give a brief discussion of how the left got to being so crazy, kind of a philosophical demolishing and presuppositional critique of leftism. And why are they so crazy? Why do they act the way they do? You know, where you go to a campus and they just start screaming and they're yelling in your face and you're trying to reason with them and they don't care about your facts, your logic, your reasoning, right? Why is it that way? Well, we have to understand that the origins of revolutionary leftism, liberalism in the way that we think of it today, does have a specific ideological lineage and origin. And a lot of things could be pointed to, but in my assessment, overall, what we're looking at is a latest stage manifestation of earlier versions of revolutionary positions and revolutionary ideas that have just sort of morphed in their own way to trying to, in a way, be consistent. But this is ironic because this whole position does not actually believe that there is such a thing as logic and objective truth. So the first thing we want to note is that leftism specifically does not believe that there is truth. One of the most famous modern leftist thinkers and philosophers and literary critics, actually, his name is Umberto Eco. And he wrote that famous novel, The Name of the Rose, which has Sean Connery. And the movie version has Sean Connery and Christian Slater. He's always trying to act like Jack Nicholson, right, as monks. This is not very believable, these two people as monks. But the story revolves around them going to be basically two detectives at a monastery in the Middle Ages where there was a murder. And there's a lot of occultic and esoteric elements going on, as is usually the case in Eco's novels. But the story ends with the spoiler alert, with the monastery basically burning down, and it's representative for the entire ancient and medieval view that there is such a thing as truth. And when the monastery burns down, the point is that there really isn't anything divine or supernatural at all going on. It's all just another kind of a trick or a deception. So the odd thing here is that leftism begins with, or has had this tendency in history, to be conspiratorial. And so it has this tendency to think that there's really just a constant conspiracy going on of the elites tricking everybody. And we kind of see that in Plato, where that's admitted. But at the same time, while you're there on a crusade for freedom or for liberty, for truth, so they say, they're also admitting that there is no such thing as freedom, liberty, or truth. Those things don't actually objectively exist. And Eco himself has a famous essay that he wrote called Ur-Fascism, which is, what's the idea of perpetual fascism? What does that mean? And he says that, you know, the battle of the leftists, talking about himself and everybody as a leftist, he says it's not principally against political positions or fascism in a political sense. He says the real battle of the leftists is ideological, philosophical, and it pertains to the war against truth itself. So he's a much more self-cognizant, self-aware leftist philosopher, thinker, semiotician, fiction writer, professor, etc., by noting that, guys, we're not really in a war against political factions. We're in a war against the idea that there even is a thing called truth at all. And that helps us understand, you know, classic left manuals, like Saul Alinsky, right? Rules for Radicals. Where there's not, there's a principle of revolution for revolution's sake. A lot of the Marxists, for example, they would talk about critique and revolution for critique's sake. And so what characterizes the tendency of revolutionary leftist ideology, modus operandi, the praxis, is a war ultimately against the idea of truth itself. There's a great book by a Orthodox priest and philosopher, Father Seraphim Rose, which I did a lecture on here in the fourth hour a couple of years ago, called Nihilism, the Roots of the Modern Revolution. And in that book, Father Seraphim Rose classifies and characterizes the historical stages of revolutionary leftism. And the final stage beyond the attempt to enact the universal ideals that a lot of leftists at some point perhaps believed in or professed to believe in or thought that they were championing, he says it kind of collapses because they realize that, well, wait a minute, I'm trying to impose an idea on other people, but I don't believe in imposing ideas on other people. So wait a minute. And who, of course, does that book have its dedication to? Well, none other than Lucifer or Satan himself, the first revolutionary, the first rebel, the first challenger, right, who said, supposedly, at least it's attributed in Milton, right, that he would rather reign in heaven than be a servant, reign in hell than be a servant in heaven, right? So this idea that revolution can occur and achieve perfect equality, perfect egalitarianism for everybody is totally delusional, right? It's absolutely impossible. And I think smarter leftists and the money that's typically behind leftism and socialism, these kinds of revolutionary ideas, they're pretty much self-aware. They're smart enough to realize that you cannot achieve total and absolute equality. And that would actually lead to a kind of dystopian nightmare. But some of the people who believe this kind of stuff are fine with a dystopian nightmare. So there's actually this sort of, as Father Rose points out, this implicit self-destructive motivation in revolutionary nihilism and leftism. It ends up not just in wanting to promote ideals, but in wanting to destroy for the sake of destruction. And in that sense, there is a demonic motivation that's going on here. Even I'm not saying that every leftist is literally possessed, although some of them seem to be demonstrating the manifestations of actual demonic possession now, because again, these things go in stages. So you kind of reach this final phase of liberal revolutionary leftism, nihilism, or whatever, that where you're just possessed. And not only do you try to kill everybody, but you also will your own destruction, suicide, or suicide on a cultural scale. And that is the motivation and modus operandi of the demonic side of leftism. And that's what you're seeing today. This notion that, and it's such a powerful controlling delusion, that not only do you have to negate and destroy and tear down everything else, why not also tear down yourself? Because it ends up being not just a battle against externals. At a certain point, the leftist The believes that not only is everything oppressing him and must everything be torn down, he himself exists as part of this world and part of the structure, and he can't completely remove himself from the world, from everything outside of him that is supposedly oppressing him and is the source of his ills. Doesn't it seem to logically follow then that suicide is the next logical step? And believe it or not, there have been many left philosophers who have actually argued that. I'm not kidding. Some of the famous existentialist philosophers, notoriously radical leftists, actually made the logical philosophical case for killing yourself and committing suicide, that that was the final and most true, pure revolutionary act. Well, I don't know why we're supposed to be pure in any of these systems, because there is no such thing as purity. There's no such thing as logic or consistency. There's no morals or standards that anyone is bound to. So it makes no sense. But that's precisely why it is a fundamental self-destructive contradiction. And so understand that leftism is a power oppressor narrative and nothing to do with truth and falsehood. Truth and falsehood, according to the leftist approach and their tweeting and their journalism and their media, those are only weapons. And they're interchangeable with the opponents. More on this when we get back. This is
Look. I'm not bragging, it's just a fact. The globalists hate InfoWars more than any other independent media organization in the world because they hate Americana. They hate populism. They hate grassroots. They hate you. And they see me as a symbol of you. Somebody that knows what's going on, who's informed, who loves freedom, and isn't scared of them. But the only reason we've had this incredible success in the fight against tyranny is because of you. And the enemies of America, your enemies, are coming after us more than ever. That's why your commitment is more important than ever at InfoWarsStore.com. Incredible products you need that empower yourself, your family, and your community at the same time, fighting the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com today. We have the biggest sale of the year, up to 50% off. With promo code 1776, you get an additional 10%. That's 60% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for your support. God bless and good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So this is your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about the destruction and self-negation that occurred in the arts and how this is part of a cultural warfare that is more than just, this or that think tank or that foundation or whatever or money to group. It's actually a spiritual battle that goes back a long time. And the difference being that it has now been more or less scientifically perfected and weaponized. I'm speaking of the toxic culture that is a form of psychological warfare. And I was going into the history of how we got to where we are in terms of liberal philosophy, revolutionary philosophy, leftism. And we talked in the last segment about how there is no objective truth. Truth is purely relative in their view. So this is, we want to understand this because, again, a lot of people interact with, you know, radical leftists on Twitter or their family members at Thanksgiving dinner and whatever. And they're mystified. Why aren't you listening to reason? You're not listening to the logic. Well, we saw this kind of completely go out the window, I would say, around 2015, 16, when people would go to demonstrations, you know, Trump demonstrations, Trump rallies or whatever, and leftists were throwing, you know, feces, they're throwing urine, they're throwing bike locks at your face. They're not interested in your facts and logic. Well, how do we get to that point? Well, again, there's this impetus, there's this motivation that either progresses over time and gets worse and worse and worse, or we begin to come to our senses, we repent, we have a change of heart, change of mind by God's grace or something like this that moves us more in the direction of truth, or we move away into this direction of more and more self-destruction. And so you have to understand that for a lot of the left, they have capitulated into believing in self-destruction. They're fine with sterilization, euthanasia, cult of death, right? Culture of death, all of that. They're fine with that. And so apart from, you know, a big event that causes repentance in people's heart or something like that, you're not going to convince these people with logic. You're not going to, because they have surrendered their reasoning faculty. And it is possible to do that. And they're not going to listen to reason anymore. And so it's very unfortunate because so many people are given over to this, right? It's a kind of a delusion. It's a kind of an irrational, just a completely berserker kind of state that they go into. They're triggered and they become these sort of frothing demonic creatures, and you can't reason with them, and you're never going to reason with them. And so we got to that point because of the tearing down of structures, the tearing down of everything, which is perceived to be, in their distorted minds, the source of their troubles. And so there's this weird impulse amongst the left or leftist revolutionary thought and thinking to be messianic. And you say, well, but they don't believe in God. They're kind of, you know, weird. And why would they be messianic? Well, if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the transcendent or any of these kinds of principles, what typically happens is that you then sort of out of your own ego and narcissistic impulse believe that it's your job now as a revolutionary activist to save the planet, to save everyone, to bring freedom, liberation, and all these things. So you say, but the irony is that, first of all, as we said in the last segment, what are these principles that you're fighting for? What is the freedom that you're fighting for? Liberty to what? Freedom from what? Well, what are the things you're fighting for? Freedom, free will? Freedom to do anything? So it's completely inconsistent. There's no logical, consistent reasoning or basis on the leftist worldview as to why you would want to do these things. Because they turn around and say that everybody who doesn't follow this version of leftism is a fascist, is intolerant. And then they want to beat you into submission for their position. Now, again, as we said, they know, I think deep down, that that's not consistent. It's a contradiction. But they don't care that they contradict. Because remember, in this worldview, there's no such thing as truth or falsehood. Truth and falsehood are just weapons of warfare that are used because, in their view, everything is just oppressor-oppressed narratives. That's it. And so the way that you win in this kind of a battle isn't really having the truth on your side, because there is no truth. It's all just oppressor-oppressed narratives. And that's why they have moved into this new phase now where, from their perspective, logic and math are Western patriarchal narratives that are created to oppress people. I mean, that is so absurd that it's almost like mind-boggling to argue against that, because it is so self-evidently absurd and self-refuting, right? Because they're using logic and reasoning to say there is no logic and reasoning at all, and they don't even realize that much of it, right? And so if you were to try to explain it to them, they don't care, and they're only interested in turning everything into a power oppressor guilt narrative, you see. So it's all just a weapon to try to use guilt as a way to psychologically manipulate you into cowering, submitting, feeling bad, and then they feel like they have power, right? So it's a grasping for power is really what all of this amounts to. Because they really believe that everything is just power narratives. And that comes out of a lot of sociologists in the last century who did sociological analysis of power oppressor narratives. Many of them were Marxists, and they were couching it in a class warfare struggle. Well, that class warfare struggle narrative has pretty much collapsed into postmodernism, which many of the left adopted this idea that there isn't really any truth or falsehood. There are no grand narratives, and even classical liberalism and classical enlightenment, universal ideas that there's a universal justice, that there's a universal liberty that man should strive, universal morals that everyone to strive for from these Enlightenment philosophers like Kant, right? Categorical imperative of Kant. Now, that's even been deconstructed because, remember, leftism is about constantly critiquing and deconstructing everything, even the leftism of the generation before you. Kulturkritik, that is one of the Frankfurt School mottos of critical theory. Never-ending struggle, right? Mao, Lenin, they both talked about that, for example. So you have to constantly tear down. You can never stop tearing down. But the logic of that means that everything must be torn down, even the new left themselves. Every generation of leftists must destroy the previous generation of leftists. And so it's preposterous. It's insane. It's a philosophy of madness, but they don't care. Because as soon as you try to point that out, they don't care. Because they're impelled by more than ideology, but by this kind of spirit that they partake of, which impels them to self-destruction. It's an enslaving spirit to the passions. And I don't mean passions in a romanticist sense of, you know, passionate plays or artworks. No, I'm talking about the passions in the ancient sense, the ancient world, the way Plato or some of the Orthodox Church fathers spoke of the passions as vices that enslave us. The only thing a lot of these the leftists are willing to fight for and die for, the only thing they stand for, is their degenerate addictions to various passions. And I'm not just calling them out, because all of us struggle with the passions. It's a feature of human existence due to the fall. We're all going to be battling the vices. So, but the more that you capitulate to the vices, I'm saying, the more that you become enslaved, and the more that, ironically, wealthy, powerful elites can use vices to enslave an entire people. And that's that psychological warfare element that is a big part of this. So we've seen that leftism inherently tears down. And not just tears down all the structures in the previous generation of leftists before them, but it has to tear down ultimately even the self. And this is how leftism transforms into post-humanism. After the left adopted the idea of post-modernism, that everything is really just oppressive narratives in terms of who had the best story and who had the most power, right? It becomes a kind of a Nietzschean thing, right? Ironically. Then it becomes a situation where now the problem isn't political ideologies. The problem isn't leftism, conservatism. The problem isn't fascism, capitalism. The problem is man himself. Humanity is the problem. That is the most advanced version of the leftist philosophy. And that is why they are all, to a man, anti-human, anti-natalist, and believe that humanity itself must be overcome for all of these problems to be solved. Do you see the dark logic and how this is 100% obviously a satanic agenda that the humankind needs to be gotten rid of, you see? That's the logic of their system. That's what they actually say. All of these post-humanists, transhumanists, they are the most advanced form of the leftist revolutionary self-negating philosophy. In the next segment, when we come back, we're going to talk about how this manifested in movies and pop culture.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were just covering the history of revolutionary self-destruction and how radical leftism is a tool to further the Overton window. This is another point I wanted to get to that I didn't get to, which is that, you know, a lot of people wonder, well, you know, nobody really follows these radical, you know, eco groups or the Extinction Rebellion people. You know, they look ridiculous, but that's their purpose, is actually move the center more to the left. That's their purpose. So I think a lot of oligarchical elite know that, you know, these radical environmentalist people, the radical green people, the you know, animal rights, the vegans, these kinds of people, when they do their protests, when they do these kinds of things, it's not that the elite believe that the majority of the population is actually going to come to believe those radical views. But the purpose of the radical pushing the line even further out, right, even if they look fringe, is that what that does is it has the effect of making what is the center position, the logical, quote, centrist position, be more towards the left, you see. That's the whole purpose of those kinds of groups, is to just, as many of you probably know, move the Overton window. And so this is an example of how these groups are used by, you know, very wealthy, very powerful people who have more or less adopted a completely anti-human, a completely anti-natalist type of position most of the wealthy elite, right? We see a little bit of a kind of a reaction to this, I guess, in some of the today's billionaires with some of the news that's coming out. But for the most part, the majority of the zillionaire billionaire class, you know, they don't have any. They're completely anti-human. They're completely 100% on board with, and the major promoters and funders of the Great Reset transhumanist agenda. But where did this really come into the culture? I mean, was it the 60s? Was it the music industry? Was it Hollywood? It was all of these things. And one of the key figures that, for whatever reason, I mean, I have my theories, that Hollywood was able to do this was by their acceptance of a Crowleyan type of philosophy. Now, not everybody in Hollywood was into Aleister Crowley or 100% adopted his philosophy, but he did seem to, in a weird way, become this counterculture ahead of time icon. And I believe that it was because of his connections and associations with British intelligence. And that kind of thrust him into being this potential figure to use as a counterculture icon. And as somebody who would push the Overton window way, 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 way ahead back in his day. So he was kind of one of these pioneering radical figures from an optics perspective back in his day as the most famous, you know, Satanist in the world. And so, you know, today's eco-radical types of people, in a way, are kind of like him in that they're used, again, to push the narrative into a centrist liberal perspective, you see. So even though not everybody in Crowley's day accepted the radical things that he was teaching and promoting and doing, nowadays, what he did is seen as the norm. And so it's very possible if we continue to slide into chaos and self-destruction that the crazy stuff that the Extinction Rebellion people are doing in 50, 40 years will be the norm then, right? We'll be in full-on total technocratic dystopia. But if you doubt any of what I'm talking about, you'll notice that I've done many interviews in the past with people in this domain. And I did a specific really long interview with Dr. Richard Spence, who the famous academic who wrote a text called Secret Agent 666, where he shows the history of Crowley as a MI5 British intelligence asset. And so that could be part of the reason why he was used in this cultural war as well. So a lot of the theology and the ideas that Crowley had were very revolutionary and were very into sexual promiscuity and degeneracy, for example. So this idea of inverting and turning sexuality into a completely different tool for society than what it was seen to be, you know, the means of propagating the species, the means of having a relationship between a man and a woman, et cetera, a loving relationship. Right? For this, for Crowley, it becomes a means of power and dominance and self aggrandizement to the point of apotheosis or the individual becoming God. That's his approach to it. Now, in modern society, sexuality has been successfully divorced for most people from the classical traditional means of what it's used for. And I mean this in the sense of Western Christian civilization when I say traditional or classical. And a lot of the figures who were countercultural icons, the people that promoted and expanded LSD, for example, somebody like Timothy Leary. Well, if you read Timothy Leary's books, he talks about how great Crowley was and how influential Aleister Crowley was on him in putting out LSD to everybody with the assistance of the CIA to initiate people. That's the terminology used not just by Tim Leary, but also by people like Terrence McKenna, to initiate people into a new way of thinking, a new paradigm, a new esoteric and occultic, they even call it, both of them at times, a shamanic initiation ritual. Terrence McKenna, for example, in Food of the Gods says, we're going to have to initiate everybody into a kind of shamanic religion that gets rid of the patriarchal religions of the past. That's literally what he says. So logos religion, a religion of objective truth, reason, of a patriarchal tradition, has to be destroyed, torn down, and dispensed with through a Dionysian, Bacchanalian return. Again, the terms used by Terrence McKenna himself. If we return to a kind of frenzy, a kind of shamanic initiation centered around the forces of nature, the mother goddess, that's his terms again, not mine, and possession, literal possession by the spirits of nature, the spirits of ayahuasca, the spirits of LSD, the spirits of all of these kinds of drugs, that will initiate us into a more humane, a more ecologically oriented society where we honor Mother Gaia, where we honor Mother Earth, where we don't engage in warfare. This is what these people taught. Now, their own lives, of course, don't reflect that at all, right? All of these people were complete degenerates and did whatever the heck they wanted to. So they didn't do what they preached, right? At least in most regards. But what they did succeed in doing was through the idea of liberation and freedom, again, which are never defined. We never know exactly what those things are. They did succeed in unleashing toxic culture that more or less enslaved future generations. And so nobody could conceive, for example, in, say, the 1960s of, you know, Marilyn Manson and the kinds of concerts that he put on in the 90s, right, in the 1960s. But if you had to have the 1960s and, you know, the Church of Satan, for example, in San Francisco, Anton LaVey, which is, again, kind of a, you know, theatrical Hollywood connected puppet show in a way, to be out there in the culture to, again, begin to warm people up to this kind of an idea. And so a few generations later, you can have Marilyn Manson in the 1990s doing very outrageous and sort of culturally, socially provocative things, which the Satanists themselves call theater of brutality or a form of aesthetic warfare. So they're cognizant of those things being a kind of initiation. The 1960s occultists and esoteric boomers said that what they were doing was a kind of ritual initiation. And then by today's pop culture, you have just the next phase of this initiatory process into a return to total paganism and total enslavement. So the irony is that none of what is being sold to everyone, again, you had, for example, in Hollywood, all of these figures who were the auteurs and the avant-garde people like Kenneth Anger promoting all the Crowleyan satanic stuff in their films, a generation or two ahead of what's in Hollywood now, which is totally satanic, openly, right? For so long, people talked about this, and you were gaslighted. Oh, you're crazy. Who's satanic panic? Oh, that was a stupid thing in the 80s that Christians made up. Well, there might have been some crazy stuff that Christians and evangelicals made up in the 1980s, but there really were satanic cults and movements, and the culture was being engineered and moved in this direction. The very founders of the counterculture themselves said that they liked and were very into and immersed in the satanic. And that could mean anything from Anton LaVey to Michael Aquino to Aleister Crowley. It could mean any of those things. So you have to understand that this is a warfare on you. This is a warfare on family, on the principles of truth, beauty, and justice themselves. In the minds of these people, those things don't exist. And in their mind, the destruction that they will bring in their great cleansing, their calling, their cataclysm that they want to happen, they think that will initiate a future, a better aeon. So they have the exact same view, by the way, as the transhumanists, and many of the transhumanists are Luciferian and satanic. And so this is the purpose of the toxic culture. It is not for freedom or liberty. It is to destroy everything that exists right now to bring in a new aeon or a new time wherein they think it will be an aeon of transhumanist, posthuman, apotheosis, the aeon of the crown and conquering child who is the new man. That's the real purpose of all that. And I guarantee you, if you...
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Everybody.